At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, word nerds. Welcome to the dictionary. I am your host, Spencer, and I would sure love it if you would rate and review this show and watch it on the YouTube if you want to see the visuals, which sometimes I think are extremely important. Go there, write some comments, subscribe to my YouTube channel, do all those things. You can join the Patreon for $1 a month, which will get you early episodes. You can buy some merchandise of a few just random designs that I've made over the years. What else? You can follow me on social media. The podcast is at DictionaryPod, and I am at SpeedJampar. And you can email me, dictionarypod@gmail.com. If you ever have anything you want to say or just talk, let's have a little chat. You wanna vent about something, you can email me. You can leave a voicemail. The number is in the show notes. I will put it in an episode because, of course, your fellow fans would like to hear what you have to say. But then if you don't want me to, I won't. If it's just for me, if it's personal and private, make sure that's clear. Anything else? I think that's fine. All right, the first word in this episode is the second form of fugitive. Noun from the 14th century. Number one, a person who flees or tries to escape, especially the synonym refugee. Well, of course, first of all, we have to call out the movie and the old TV show, which I never saw, called The Fugitive. The movie I know is about Harrison Ford running away. He's trying to flee and escape the hands of the long arm of the law. But, right, was it that he didn't do a thing and there was somebody else, but they don't know that. They think it's him. And then they're like, oh, but where is he? He left, he ran away, and we can't find him. Where did Harrison Ford go? Refugee, that's the synonym. I mean, this is somebody who's gotta leave their area, leave their country for whatever reason, bad reasons, things are not so good, so they gotta run away. So, refugee, it has the F-U-G in the middle there, which is related to fugitive, starts the same way. And, you know, maybe we'll get some interesting etymology when we get to the word refugee. You can just shorten that to Fuji, the Fugees. That was a group of people who were doing music. Number two is something elusive or hard to find. I can't find my glasses. My glasses are fugitives. They're running away from me. All right, let's make a sound effect. Should it be fugitive related? How would that even be? What's a sound of running away? Yeah. Nah, I don't know. That's a very weird sound. Let's just do something completely unrelated and go. Now we have fugleman. Fugleman, you could probably say fugleman if you want, but it doesn't say that. F-U-G-L-E-M-A-N. Noun from 1804. This is number one, a trained soldier formerly posted in front of a line of soldiers at drill to serve as a model for their exercises. When you don't know what exercises to do, you just watch the Fugelman. What do I do? How do I move my arms? You move them like this. I'm the Fugelman, acting like a robot, kind of, not really. Formerly posted. So do they not do this anymore? Is this not a job anymore? I only joined the military so I can be a Fugelman, so I can show you how to do the exercises and the drills. I don't want to go out to battle. I just want to show you how to do the proper things. But that's a job that doesn't exist anymore, maybe? Number two. One at the head or forefront of a group or movement. Well, maybe the etymology will have something interesting to say. This is, let's see, it's modified of the German Flügelmann, which is from Flügel, which means wing, plus man with two N's, which means man. So it's a wingman, but they're at the front. I feel like it should be front man, head man, something like that, not wingman. That seems odd to me. Unless they're using their wings to show how to do the exercise of doing the chicken dance. All right. Well, that's Fugelman. Yeah. And now I shall go. Now, next we have Fugu. F-U-G-U. Fugu. Noun from 1909. Any of various very poisonous puffer fishes that contain tetrodotoxin? How do you pronounce this? Where's the emphasis? Tetrodotoxin. No. Tetrodotoxin. And that are used as food in Japan after the toxin-containing parts are removed. You gotta take out the toxin parts, obviously. The family name is Tetraodontidae. There's like an A and an O next to each other. Tetraodont. I don't know how to do that. Tetraodontidae. Tetraodontidae. I still don't know. Tetrodotoxin? Is that literally what it is? Is that how you say it? Sure, why not? There is a picture of a Fugu. It, I guess, would be a pufferfish. I don't know. This one maybe looks a little bit different. I mean, it's similar to all the puffer fishes that I've seen in my life, which are really just on photos and videos, probably. They've got a cute little puckery mouth, and then, you know, their typical beady little eyes, and they sort of have a fatter body than I think most fishes. And then, you know, they got the fins on the side and the fins on the top and the tail in the back. That's where the tail goes. And they got some black speckles and stuff. I think, wasn't there a Simpsons episode that dealt with this? You gotta be very careful. You gotta cut out the toxin part, and it's very hard to do, and you gotta be a specially trained sushi person, chef, to do this. You gotta know where it is, what to do exactly, otherwise people could die. So I think it's probably kind of expensive, maybe. Fugu. So is the fish called Fugu? Or the food called Fugu? Is it both? It seems like the fish are just called, yeah, they're just the very poisonous puffer fishes. Puffer, and then they puff. What a strange thing that nature did. I've seen the skeletons of these, and I think literally the skeleton like collapses on itself or something, right? Those things are bonkers. All right, don't eat these. Just be safe. This is a Japanese word, fugu, and I don't know what it means. It doesn't say, so maybe it's just fish or poison or tasty or I don't know, something. I could probably look it up, I guess. You know, I'm realizing this is multiple episodes too late, but I'm realizing that I skipped the etymology for fuchsia. So, you know what? Let's just do a weird little thing and let's just talk about that now. It is from Leonard Fuchs or Fox or Fuchs. I don't know how to pronounce it. It is spelled F-U-C-H-S. And they were a German botanist who died in 1566. So I'm guessing they were the ones who named the plant. And they named it fuchsia. All right, we got to move on from fugue and go... Next is fugue, F-U-G-U-E. Noun from 1597, number 1A. A musical composition in which one or two themes are repeated or imitated by successively entering voices and contrapuntally developed in a continuous interweaving of the voice parts. And I don't know, I feel like I want to listen to some fugue, but basically there's an idea, there's a theme, or there's two themes, it says, and they're being repeated and imitated and played and intermixed and interwoven, and sometimes they play it and then they're contrapuntally developed in a contrapoint way, opposite, different, something, similar, whatever. So that's a fugue. When you're doing all those musical things, interweaving these two themes. Interesting. Well, I can't wait to look at the etymology so we can figure out why this music thing is called a fugue. 1B. Something that resembles a fugue, especially in interweaving repetitive elements. So this one's not specifically about music. You can have just multiple things interweaving and repeating, and that's a fugue. Number 2, a disturbed state of consciousness in which the one affected seems to perform acts in full awareness, but upon recovery cannot recollect the acts performed. And it seems like sleepwalking would be the biggest example of someone being in this fugue state. They're like, oh, I'm doing things, I'm cooking dinner. Wait, what? I did what? I cooked dinner? I never cooked dinner. I don't even know how to cook. So I was in a fugue state. Fugue is also a verb. I guess it didn't have enough definitions to get its own entry. Fugist, that is a noun. Maybe someone writing the fugue music, maybe they're writing the fugue music in a fugue state, and they don't even remember writing the music. So, this word is probably from the Italian fuga, seems like a good guess. That word means flight or fugue. So yeah, it seems like that's where it's from. Also the Latin, which I guess would also be fuga, which means flight, from fugere, which, ooh, did we see that in the previous episode? Fugere, to flee, flight, running away. But how does that turn into these interweaving themes, like my fingers interweaving and repeating and being changed contrapuntally? Interesting. What's, isn't there like, there's at least one like really famous fugue. Can I just type famous fugue spelled correctly? Here we go. Bach, 8 of the best fugues in classical music history. Let's see. Oh, let's see. That's about what is a fugue. Johann Sebastian Bach had numerous fugues, including those from Well-Tempered Clavier, The Art of Fugue, Toccata and Fugue. That's probably the one I'm thinking of. That one is in D minor. And The Little Fugue in G minor. Handel had the Amen Fugue from Part 3 of Messiah. Mozart had the Kyrie Double Fugue in his Requiem. Beethoven had the Grossfugue, Opus 133, and the fugue from the Hammerklavier Sonata, Opus 106. And there's more, of course. Handel and Bach would probably be the ones that I think are probably the most famous. Yep, Toccata and Fugue in D minor. That seems, yes, let's put a link for that in the show notes if you want to go check it out and listen. And I know that I know it, but I can't think of what it is, what it sounds like off the top of my head. Fugue. And now next, This is a very different word. It's the word Führer or Führer. It is F-U-H-R-E-R with the two dots on the U. That would be an umlaut. You could also spell it F-U-E-H-R-E-R. This is a noun from 1934. 1934, I guess, is when it got into English. I'm guessing it was older than that in German. So, you know, we won't spend a lot of time on this one because we don't want to talk about these very bad people. But the synonym is the number two definition for the word leader, but especially the synonym tyrant. Tyrant is not good. I don't ever want to be led by a tyrant. Just, it's bad. It's just bad, bad, bad. And of course, well, let's look at the etymology before we say anything. This is German. Führer, with a capital F. And in parentheses, it says Der, D-E-R, before it, which I think just means the. The Führer, the leader, the tyrant. But Führer literally means the leader. And it was the title assumed by Adolf Hitler. Oh, you Hitler. We just can't get away from you, even all these years later. It is also from the Middle High German Führer, from Führen, which means to lead or bear. From the Old High German Führen, which means to lead, akin to the Old English Fahren, which means to go, and there's more at the word fair, F-A-R-E. So, yeah, basically Hitler was like, yeah, I'm being your new leader in Germany, so I'm going to take on the title of Führer. And I think that because of him, this word now took on the extra meaning of tyrant, because the etymology said nothing about being a tyrant. That is not part of where this word comes from. It's leading. You can lead. You can be a good leader, listen to your people, take care of your people, but send them down a path. But tyrant takes it to a whole other level. A level that I do not care for. So, you know, the word Führer has it's been tainted, I think. I don't know how the Germans feel. Were they like, this was just a normal word for leader, and now it means tyrant. There is a great, very silly song. I want to say it's by this Spike Jonze music guy from the early 20th century, and it's like something about Der Führer, and it's a very silly song, and I'll put a link in the show notes for you to listen to this song. And actually, my friend and I used the song in a very silly video that we made many years ago, so maybe I'll post a link to that one as well. Yes, and the song was written around this time, and they were straight up just making fun of Hitler. Like, sometimes you need to make fun of the leaders when they're being tyrants or mean or bad or dumb or stupid or something. All right, moving on to Fuji. F-U-J-I, noun from 1925. It is a spun silk clothing fabric in plain weave, originally made in Japan. And, of course, we know this is from the word Fuji in Japan, which is a mountain in Japan. So, is this fabric made near the Fuji Mountain? I would love to see the Fuji Mountain in real life from afar and then maybe close. Far, near, far, near. This Fuji fabric. I'd never heard about a Fuji fabric. I've heard of Fuji water. And, of course, the mountain. Next is the suffix full, F-U-L. First form, it's an adjective suffix, this one is. It is sometimes fuller or sometimes fullest, still as a suffix. And number one, it means full of. The example is prideful. Oh, I feel so full of pride. My belly is full. I ate up all of the pride. Number two, characterized by. The example is peaceful. If you are a peaceful person, you are characterized as being peaceful. No, you are characterized as loving peace, promoting peace, being peaceful. Ah, they're so peaceful when they're sleeping. Ah, those animals and children are so peaceful when they're sleeping. Why can't they sleep all the time? Let's see. I guess I would be a peaceful person because I just want peace and I don't want war and I don't want tyrants. Number three, having the qualities of. The example is masterful. So you have the qualities of a master because you are so good at whatever it is that you do. I am not masterful on anything except sometimes talking and sometimes not even that. No, just being myself. You are also probably masterful at being yourself. Number four, tending, given, or liable to. The example is helpful. You are tending to help. You tend to help. You are given to help. It's a part of your nature. You are liable to help. Oh, he's very likely to help because he is such a helpful person. I would very much like to be described as helpful because I try to be. If you can help, why not do it? Just help. These all seem very nice adjectives. Prideful, peaceful, masterful, helpful. And maybe someday I will be masterful at something else, but you got to do the thing to actually be masterful at it. And I don't do anything except this. Let's see. Okay. Well, it's full from full, basically, right? You have lots of this thing, lots of pride, lots of peace, lots of master, lots of help. You have all those things. All right. We got to move on now to the second form of full, the suffix full specifically. This is the noun suffix, and it means number or quantity that fills or would fill. The example is roomful. We got a room full of jelly beans. We have a number or quantity of jelly beans that fills a room or would fill a room. They're not in the room right now. We have them in individually wrapped packages, one by one, but we have enough that when you take them out of their individually wrapped packages, you put them in a room and fill a whole room. Well, what's the size of the room? That is not helpful. What is it? A closet room? Is it a theater room? These are very different sized rooms. A whole room full of jelly beans. I want to go swimming in it like Uncle Duck. What's his name? The rich duck. All I can think of is Uncle Duck. That's not his name. All right. A room full, a number of things, something full. I've got a hair full of hairs. Fula. Fula is next. I think that's how it's pronounced. F-U-L-A with a capital F. Or you can add an H at the end. It is a noun from 1799. I can't help but think of the very silly actor and comedian and music maker, Flula. Flula Borg. But no, it's Fula. So this is number one, a member of a mainly pastoral African people dispersed over savanna and desert from Senegal to Eastern Sudan. Let's look up a map. We gotta know. Let's look up a map of Africa, right? Let's just see where this is. This seems far. Okay, let's see. This was they're in the pastoral, so they're in the plains, I guess, but also in the desert, from Senegal to Eastern Sudan. Let's find them. Okay, Senegal here is all the way on the west, the far, far west side of that top half of Africa. You can't get any more west, really. And all the way to Eastern Sudan. Oh, boy. Sudan is on the opposite side, not quite as far as you can go. There's still a number of countries over there that are further to the east, but it does, part of Sudan, eastern Sudan, is on the coast of, is this the Red Sea? Yes, the Red Sea, just south of Egypt. So that's like the whole, just about the whole width of Africa are these Fula people. Well, number two is the language of the Fula people. The Fula speak Fula, and I hope I am pronouncing that correctly. Now, there is no etymology, so this is maybe just a word, a name that they came up for themselves, and I don't know what it means. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it just means people. We've seen many examples like this throughout the dictionary. All right, next is, ooh, it's related. Fulani. You can emphasize the first or the second syllable. Fulani or Fulani. Still with a capital F. It has an N-I at the end. Noun from 1855. Again, these years are when we learned about them in English, when they became popular enough in English to put them in the dictionary. Put it in the dictionary. Number one. It is the number one definition for Fula, which is what we just read, all these people, but especially the Fula of northern Nigeria and adjacent areas. So very specifically, in that area, they are called the Fulani, or Fulani, or Fulani. I wonder if the N-I at the end, now of course this is English, they probably have their own, obviously have their own language and possibly different letters, I don't know. But, you know, just because I'd like to make connections, the N-I in Fulani could be from the N-I in Nigeria. Maybe not, probably not, but it's fun to think about it that way. So number two for Fulani is the number two definition for Fula, which was the language. So the Fulani people speak Fulani and the Fula people speak Fula. They're all Fula, but some of them are Fulani or Fulani. Anything else? That's it. I don't know anything about these people, so let's put a link in the show notes for Fula and Fulani. And so you can learn about these people. Next is fulcrum. F-U-L-C-R-U-M. Full of crumbs. Noun from 1668. Number 1A. The synonym is prop. But specifically, it is the support about which a lever or a lever turns. So you put a lever on a thing so you can lever it up and down. And but that's also called a prop. And you need this fulcrum. You know, if you're trying to like lift up a heavy boulder, if you put a board or something like under it a little bit, you need that fulcrum to push down on the other side of your board, and so you have something to push against to get this board up. And the closer that fulcrum is to the thing that you're trying to lift up, the more, I don't know the scientific words to use in this context. It'll be easier. There we go. It'll be easier to do your action. Okay. I do remember learning about these in like, what was it, maybe 7th or 8th grade science class, something like that. So, we got more, though. We got 1B for fulcrum. One that supplies capability for action. So, like the fulcrum under your lever to lift up your boulder, that fulcrum is giving you the capability to the ability to produce an action, to do an action, to lift up the boulder, to tip it up. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to. So, you can also say metaphorically, or maybe literally, not in a lever situation, but in other types of situations, if you are coming into a situation and you are providing people the ability to do something, then you are the fulcrum and you are very important. And they're like, oh, it's like we're tipping a board on your back, but only metaphorically speaking. You have allowed us to move this heavy boulder. Number two, a part of an animal that serves as a hinge or support. What part is that? What part's hinging? Is it your hips? Is it shoulders, back, neck? I don't know. It's the fulcrum. So it's all about moving back and forth, I guess. The fulcrum. This word is a Latin word, which means bedpost. I was not expecting that. That seems odd. Also from fulcire, which means to prop. So you're like propping up a thing on another thing, I guess. There's more at the word bulk for some reason. I don't understand this bedpost thing, how it's related to propping stuff. Let's see. Okay, we have one more word for this episode. We have... No, that's not the word. That's the sound effect. We have fulfill. You can spell it F-U-L-F-I-L-L or take off the last L. Or maybe you're taking off the second to last L. I can't tell which is which. Fulfill. Let's see. It is a verb from before the 12th century. And is it only transitive? I think it's only transitive. Number one is archaic. It is to make full. To make full. Oh, maybe when I'm eating, I'm fulfilling my belly's premonition. I'm fulfilling my belly. The synonym is fill. As in the example, here we go. This is a quote from Alfred Tennyson. Her subtle, warm, and golden breath fulfills him with beatitude or beatitude. And I don't remember what that means. But her subtle, warm, and golden breath gave him that. Maybe I hope she brushed her teeth so she didn't give him golden, stinky breath. Number 2A. So that one's archaic. You can't use it that way. Number 2A. To put into effect. The synonym is execute. Just go do an action. Maybe you need a fulcrum to fulfill that action. Otherwise, you will not be fulfilling that action. 2B. To meet the requirements of what? Maybe a business order. Oh, we're working in a paper factory, and oh, somebody placed an order for 5 pieces of paper, and so we got to fulfill that order. We got to fulfill that business order. The requirements of that business order are to send 5 pieces of paper. 2C, to bring to an end. That's it. All that's and because you fulfilled it, it is filled out and it's full and it's done. 2D, to measure up to. The synonym is satisfy. Oh, do you measure up to my satisfactions? Are you satisfactory in what I like? Then you have fulfilled my requirements. Number 3A, to convert into reality. To convert into reality? Can somebody convert me into reality? I don't know what reality I'm living in. 3B, to develop the full potentialities of. Yeah, it's like filling up those requirements. What's your full potential? Oh, have I even reached my full potential? I don't think so. I don't think you've reached your full potential either. I think you still have work to do. You can still get there. I don't think I shall reach my full potential until I die. I don't know what that's going to be, a weird situation. Oh, you finally reached your full potential. Okay, I'm done. That's it. That's my goal. To fulfill the life. A synonym is the word perform. Fulfiller, that is a noun. Anything interesting about the etymology? I mean, it's pretty clear. It's from filling. Specifically, it says Old English, fulfillon, which is full, plus fillon, which means to fill. right? Filling up a glass of water, you have fulfilled the glass of its to its satisfaction. I can't get no satisfaction. All right. That is going to be it for all of these words in this one episode. I hope you enjoyed them oh so much. We learned some good ones. They were fugitive, fugleman, fugu, fugue, furor, fuji, full, fula, fulani, fulcrum, and fulfill. Fulfill. You got to get that L in there. I think when I say fulfill, I just skip that first L, but it's very, very important because people won't understand what you're saying if you just say fulfill. You got to say fulfill. I'm full of you, Phil. Uncle Phil. All right. Which one is going to be the word of the episode? I don't know. I don't love the idea of eating the fish, especially the very possibly toxic ones. Let's see. Fugitive. Let's see. Let's pick fulcrum as the word of the episode. I'm trying to move a boulder. I can't move my boulder without a fulcrum. The fulcrum makes me move the boulder. Wow, all these songs are all the same. That's all I know how to do. I can't do anything different. Boulders, boulders, moving boulders. Put the fulcrum under the lever so you can move your boulders. Ah, whatever. It's fine. The next movie we watched, I believe it's the movie that we watched last night, which was The Lost Boys. Hadn't seen it for quite a long time. This is one of Sharon's favorite movies because she saw it when she was very young, and it just got into her DNA. And I don't think I saw it when I was very young. I think I saw it for the first time when I was older. I think I missed it for some reason when I was young. Maybe I thought it was too scary or something. I don't know. I was an odd kid. But it's so, it's over dramatic at times and silly and cheesy, but it's so fun, right? It's just fun. That's what we like about it. And, I think it had a very important place in many people's childhoods and probably affected many people in many different possible ways. It's vampires. That's all you got to know. Oh, so many things. So many things to say about it. So many jokes. So many comments. Oh, boy. I don't even know where to go. But you know what? If you haven't seen it, go watch it. That is the end of the episode. I think I have fulfilled my duties fulfilling this episode. It's all filled up to the brim with talking from me. This has been Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.